Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, Old Testament, prophet Isaiah. We'll be reading Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 this morning. If you would, if you're able to, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you again, we thank you, Lord God, for this privilege to assemble and thank you for what we've already experienced and been blessed by in the services today. But now, Lord God, as we have opened up your holy word and we've read this prophecy of Isaiah, pray that you would give us insight into it and that you would help each and every one of us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us today. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When you think of the month of December, what comes to your mind? I would think most people, and especially in the United States of America, the idea of Christmas. Some even start the day after Christmas, counting down to the next Christmas. And now I don't know, some have different reasons for that. I think the kids might be thinking about what I'm going to ask for next year and whatever I got from this year, whatever it might be, maybe vacation time, maybe the idea of the lights and the festivities and all the different things. There's a lot of different reasons, but in America, most that would think of December would think of Christmas. But can I tell you this morning that believers, those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, ought to be thinking of the birth of Christ. Amen. There's some who would disagree with that, but as we look into the United States of America, Christmas represents the birth of Christ. As we look back in human history, ever since the fall of Adam, humanity has looked for a Savior. Now, we can study human history all the way back, but as we look at the Bible, we find here through the recordings of the Old Testament that Abraham and God had a covenant. God made an Abrahamic covenant. And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, whose sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob's name being changed from Jacob to Israel. And the nation of Israel was who God chose to work through to represent himself to the world. We look back in the nation of Israel and we study the history. That's what the Bible reveals more than anything else in the Old Testament is the nation of Israel and how God worked through them. And they're there for principles for us to learn from and apply to our lives even today. On Wednesday nights, we're in a study on the King Hezekiah and what a blessing that has been, and seeing how God has raised up a man, a king that loved the Lord and wanted to do right by God, and how that it blessed the entire nation, and God is delivering them from captivity and all the different things taking place. We're studying on Wednesday night, but through Israel, we learn much about who God is, because they are called God's chosen people, because God chose to work through them to represent God to the earth, to all humanity, the whole world. Through the birth of Christ, December the 25th, this prophecy of a coming Messiah was fulfilled. Now, we look here in the book of Isaiah, and again, Isaiah was one of the main prophets to Hezekiah, giving him direction as far as how to stay out of captivity and how to defeat Assyria and Sennacherib. And so in the very same Isaiah, the prophecies of Isaiah, we find that he records the prophecy of the coming of Christ. Over in chapter 7, in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." And then he goes again and presents to them in Isaiah chapter 9 what we read, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Then we look in the beginning of the New Testament Gospels, Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, this is that prophecy being fulfilled. Verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be, and I've got that underlined right there, fulfilled. The fulfillment of prophecy. Humanity has always looked for a Savior in one form or another. Through the prophecies of God's prophets, we find that it was fulfilled in the birth of Christ. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife." So the prophecy of Christ. As we look here in Isaiah, and we're going to be preaching a message on this prophecy, the prophecy of the Christ. The first thing we notice here is Isaiah gives the advent of this coming of the Lord. Back in the Old Testament, during Israel's battle with Sennacherib and trying to stay out of captivity, and Isaiah presents this as a message for them, not only for them to look to God for deliverance even then, but also to look for the Messiah to come. And he prophesied of the coming of the Messiah. So this advent or the coming of Christ would be a child is born. This is going to be a virgin-born child. Isaiah prophesies that there would be a virgin who was going to give birth. And this is the child is born, human by birth. And then a son is given. The pre-existing of Christ means that he has always been. He was the Son of God, and he would be given. So we find here that the deity of conception and the deity of the child that would be born. A child born would be 100% man. A child, a son given, he was already a son before he was ever born to Mary. Born of a virgin. A son given means that he was 100% God. Some say, no, he was 50% man, 50%. No, he was 100% man, and he was 100% God. A child is born, and a son is given. So the advent of the coming of the Christ child would mean that Jesus would walk on the earth to represent the Father's heavenly kingdom as a son. Israel would represent God to the world in the Old Testament. The prophecy was there's coming another who is going to represent God to the world. And he would be born of a virgin. That would make him 100% human. But he would also be given as a son, which would make him 100% God. This was all of this, this advent, the coming of Christ, would be for man to benefit from. Because it says, back over in our text, don't lose sight of this, because he says, unto us, humanity, unto mankind, a child is born. So unto us, a child is born, meaning that Jesus in his humanity would represent God walking as a man on the face of the earth. And unto us, a son is given. Can I tell you, I think back upon that, and what a blessing to know that God has wanted us to benefit in so many ways from the advent of the coming of the Christ. December 25th is on our Christian calendar to represent a day when this took place. December 25th, who knows, they didn't have the Christian calendar back in the Old Testament when it was prophesied. But it was prophesied that this child, this virgin-born child would come, and this Son of God would also come in one. God knew exactly when the fullness of time would come, when he would send his only begotten Son to the earth to be born of a virgin, to be able to live a sinless life as God walking in the flesh for humanity to look to and learn from. God knew that date. And we need to understand that that date we look to is December 25th, but more than the date, the event. the event known by God from the very beginning of time. That's a powerful date. I'm so glad that as a Christian nation that we have placed that on our calendar so that we could realize that there was a time, there was a day in time that this prophecy was fulfilled. And you might think of a lot of different things in December, and you might think of a lot of different things about Christmas, about that date that's December the 25th, but can I tell you, for every born-again believer, what ought to cause you to rejoice when you think about December the 25th is the event of the coming of the Christ. Amen. Don't lose sight of that. Every now and then, praise the Lord, December 25th falls on the Lord's Day. this year. That's a bonus. That's more of a bonus. And so many, they're going to cancel their church services on the date that we have acknowledged that Christ came. Listen to me. We ought to be here all day long rejoicing over what has taken place on this date and time. This is the fourth. This is just the beginning. We got 3 weeks, and we're going to celebrate December 25th. Acknowledged all year long. But this year we get to celebrate it on the actual date on the calendar. It represents Christ coming as a gift to humanity. As a gift, yeah, unto us. Unto us, a child is born, which represents humanity. Unto us, a son is given, representing it came, he is of God. He is God's only begotten, one of a kind son. And he's given. He's born to represent humanity. He is given to represent God. A priceless gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we find the Advent. What Isaiah saw, didn't truly understand, but he prophesied what God told him to prophesy. As we look back now, wow, what a blessing. Because we can fully understand. His birth represents a humanity. And his son represents his deity. His attributes. As we study Isaiah's prophecy, first of all, it's the event. It's going to take place. Now we know exactly when it took place. They look forward to it coming. When he was here, they acknowledge the fact that he was here. And some 2,000 years later, we look back and know exactly when it was. Know exactly when that date. And actually, in a Christian nation, the United States of America, we have put it on the Christian calendar so that we would never forget, that we'd be mindful of why that is on the calendar. His attributes. As a child born. All his attributes of humanity. Jesus had them all. He was 100% man. Now, why? Why didn't God just send Jesus already developed? Why didn't God just send Jesus to set out a throne? Now, we find the Jews still believe that the Messiah has yet to come, because when he comes, he will lead the Jews into world dominance, and there will be a millennial reign. And that is coming, but that's 1,000 years after that'll be for 1,000 years after the rapture and the second coming of Christ. He will rule and reign on earth. He will. But in between now and then is a church age. In this church age, it's opportunity to win people to Christ. And his humanity was given to us as a gift, as an example to look to. Hebrews chapter 4. Everybody with me this morning? Stay with me, because this is powerful stuff. It really is. It'll make you better appreciate December 25th as a day. Just understand the event of the coming of the Christ. In Hebrews in chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, in God's sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God said, there's nothing that God doesn't see. I love this passage of scripture, because God sees it all. God knows it all. God knows what you're going through. He knows what's inside of you. He knows exactly what's taking place in your life. He said, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And then it says this, seeing then. Understand this. You need to realize this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with throughout your entire life, you need to see this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. You see, because that's where he's at today. He is sitting on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us as a great high priest did. Old Testament, referring back to the Old Testament priest, Jesus is the ultimate of all priests. He is the very Son of God, who is sitting on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession as the priest would in the Old Testament. He is there. We need to see him as sitting on the throne on the right hand of God. See that. We need to be able to see that. Why does that make a difference, preacher? Because he's passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't ever lose sight of what you believe. Believe Jesus to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. How do you know that? Because he was given to us as a child. He was born to bring in his humanity. He was born of a woman. That gave him his humanity. And as a humanity, he walked on the face of the earth. He experienced everything that humans experience. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so knowing that we have Jesus sitting on the right hand of God, who sees and knows everything that's going on, he identifies with us, we can identify with him, and let us therefore, understanding we have this, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. That's prayer. We pray to the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Ghost. And how much powerful our prayer life when you understand it's going through Jesus, who identified with humanity, and he's taking it to the Father and knows exactly what we're dealing with, how we're feeling, what we're dealing with. So let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. When you understand that that's part of God's presence, that's part of God's grace to help in time of need. As a child born, he has all the attributes of humanity. If you cut him, he would bleed, and he did bleed. He felt pain. He felt sorrow. All the different feelings a human being can feel. God manifested in the flesh, walking on the face of the earth, experienced it all. So we can identify with him, and he could identify with us. That is powerful. That's reality. That's what December 25th represents. A child is born to give him identification with humanity. His attributes as a son. A son is given. He already preexisted. Which gives him the attributes of deity. Which gives him the attributes the same as the Father. In our text, we find here that Isaiah even prophesies of this. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Not talking about God the Father, talking about God the Son, but he is the Mighty God because he has the same attributes as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus would teach the disciples in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Because they have the same attributes. Did you notice he didn't have a heavenly mother? And that's because he, as God, he had no beginning. He had an earthly mother because that was the beginning of his humanity. There's no heavenly mothers. Don't be talked into believing that. Mary is not to be worshipped. Mary is to be respected. Mary is to be honored because she was chosen of God to give birth to a virgin-born son of God. She was chosen to allow him to experience the birth of humanity. But in heaven, there are no heavenly mothers. Jesus didn't have a mother because he's always been because he was God. John chapter 1. This is the deity. This is what we find in the scriptures. And it's important for us to learn these things. In John chapter 1, the introduction of Jesus coming by John, the Apostle John. John writes in the very beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is the very same Christ that walked on the earth in all the deity of God. But in the body of humanity. The very same Christ has always been. And was there in all and created all things. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was Jesus Christ. And this Word was made flesh. He was born unto us. A child is born. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus walking on the very earth that he created as a man. Wow. His attributes, never lose sight of his attributes, which leads to his authority. The Advent, he came unto us as a child being born, as a son being given. He had the attributes of man and the attributes of God. And with this, his authority as a man and God, as a God-man. He had the authority to offer himself up as a sinless sacrificial lamb to be able to redeem lost man to the Father. He came to do such. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, but then he came to present himself as a sacrificial lamb to be crucified on the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt of all humanity, of which no other man could have ever paid, because it took a sinless sacrifice. And the only sinless man to ever walk on the face of the earth was Jesus Christ. Although he was tempted beyond our understanding by the devil himself. But in all this, he remained sinless so that he could be able to pay our sin debt. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, write these verses down if I go too fast for you, because I'm limited on time, and so I go quickly and I want to read them to you. But 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 21, it says this: For he hath made him, God had made the Son, to be sin for us. He gave him a physical body. Unto us, a child was born unto us. And then unto us, a son was given. He sent him, he gave him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way that we can take on the righteousness of God is through Jesus Christ and his cleansing of our sins. In 1 John in chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, every born-again believer needs to understand this and be blessed by it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, it says this: And you know that he was manifested, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. He was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. The only way that humanity could be redeemed was through a sinless sacrifice. He, as he hung on the cross of Calvary, he took on the sins of humanity, past, present, and future. When he hung on the cross of Calvary, Jesus took on my sin. He offered himself up as a sinless sacrifice. Once he accomplished what he came to accomplish in this world, and establishing this New Testament Christianity, ushering in this New Testament Christianity, he went to the cross to pay our sin debt. Listen to me, your sin debt was paid some 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross. Jesus died pay your sin debt, a debt that we all owe and cannot pay. He offered himself, his attributes, his authority, rather, is to offer, he had the authority to offer up himself as a sinless sacrificial lamb. Not only did it would it be able to redeem lost man to the Father, but also deliver man from death and hell. For the wages of sin is death. That's death and hell. That's separation from God the Father. And when you die, eternity in hell. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what the Bible says. So he went to the cross of Calvary. He suffered, he bled and died so he would take on our sins. But then he had to do something else to deliver man from death and hell. He had to resurrect. Of which he did. That's another date on the calendar. Yeah. Revelation chapter 1. Let me just read this to you. Revelation chapter 1, as John seen the resurrected Christ, this is what Jesus said unto John on the island of Patmos. I am he that liveth and was dead. I died, but I didn't stay dead. I didn't stay in death. I didn't stay in hell. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He has the key or the authority to keep any one of us from going to a devil's hell. To keep all of us out of a devil's hell. He paid your sin debt. He alone has the authority to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of your unrighteousness and to keep you from going to a devil's hell when you die. That's the authority that he has. He had the authority to present himself as a sacrificial lamb. He has the authority himself to resurrect from the dead so that you might have your sins forgiven and you might have been taken out of the jaws of the devil and death and hell. As a roaring lion, that's where he has you. The devil is that roaring lion, has you in his jaws. He wants you to take you to hell with him. Jesus has the authority to keep you from going there. No one else. No one else. Only Christ. As he delivers man from death and hell, he had the authority to do that. Then lastly, he has the authority to give a gift of everlasting life to any and all who simply believe and receive the gift he wants you to have. This was done unto us. A child was born. Unto us, given, God give him, a son was given. If you believe in him, and you trust in him, you can receive this gift of everlasting life. And John in chapter 5, and I'll close with this. In 1 John, brother, chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the record. What God has recorded for us in his word. This is the recording, the record that God hath given to us eternal life. God has given to us eternal life. He wants humanity to have it. It's not God's will that any should perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God says, I want you to have this peace that passeth all understanding, to know that when you die, when you leave this body and you leave this world, you have an eternity in heaven to look forward to. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And God says, I want you to have that peace. I want you to know. Don't have to doubt. Don't have to question. Don't have to think so. I want you to know that you have the gift that I want you to have. Everlasting life. But it's only through the Son. Do you believe that you need to be saved? Do you believe that humanity needed a Savior? See, if you don't believe that, that means that you believe that Jesus died in vain. My Savior did not come in vain. He did not live a sinless life in vain. He did not die, lay his life down. No one could take his life. He's God. He laid his life down on the cross. It was not in vain. He did not suffer. He did not bleed. He did not die in vain. He did not go to the depths of hell only to resurrect, to bring the keys, the control of death and hell through his resurrection. He didn't do that in vain. He did it because there's a need. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. That's what God has revealed to us. But you don't have to. Why? Because unto us a child was born. Unto us a son was given. So that we might have a Savior, an example, and have a gift of everlasting life. Do you know Christ as your Savior? We're coming up on just 3 weeks. I'm excited about it. Yeah. That means I've got 3 more Sundays to present Christ. I love it. I love it. Yeah. A child. A virgin-born child came, and a son, an everlasting deity was given. Will you receive him? If you've never received him before, if you've never put your faith and trust in him, today's the day. Don't let this day pass you by. Confess your need for Christ and receive a gift of everlasting life today. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I trust that this prophecy would set into our hearts and minds. A child was born. A son was given with you in mind, with each and every one of us in mind. Don't leave this place without knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that you received that gift. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the prophecies of the Messiah, prophecies of this virgin-born child, and this holy deity of a son, God was given. Wow. Help us just to focus on that. Look into our own heart. Look into our own minds. See in us a need for Christ. Confess that we're sinners. Call upon the name of the Lord. Bless in this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.